You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians 3. I want to go through just quickly some thoughts I had on stirring in me on fire. Everybody say fire.
Fire.
Now, that in East Texas, that could be a long distance, or that could be something hot. It could be all kinds of things. But I want to talk to you about fire, F-I-R-E, fire. 1 Corinthians, before I tell you, turn to the third chapter. 1 Corinthians 3, I just was meditating on some things that fire does and the use of fire and so on and so forth. And God talks a lot about fire in the Scripture, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, He talks about it, and uses it as a spiritual analogy and what it will do. And, of course, this conference has been about igniting the fire of God in the hearts of believers. And we need our fires ignited sometimes. Sometimes we've got a fire. We just need to fan the flames. Amen? And sometimes they're just about out, and we need to really get them started up again. You know, that could be the case, too. But you're never going to do much of anything, whether it's for God or even in a business or even in a marriage, if you have no fire, if you have no passion. Passion's necessary. You've got to have fire. It keeps things going. It accelerates us. That's what our theme is, Accelerate 2008. And so if you're going to serve God, you got to keep the fan, you keep the fires going, you keep fanning the flames. Amen? And it's a continual thing. You don't want to get burnt out, as we say. You don't want to get cold. Cold denotes, you know, that you're not hot anymore. And when someone's cold, they're unaffected. They're not alive to whatever the situation is. A cold-hearted person. He needs to be fired up. You know, when someone gets burnt out, I'm just burnt out. You know, in other words, there's no flame left. There's just no fire there. Well, you need to fan the flames. And God wants to fan those flames. And fire does a lot of things. I want to talk about just briefly some things here that came alive to me. In 1 Corinthians 3, this talks about our salvation, how we're saved by faith and by what Jesus did in His death, burial, and resurrection. No question that foundation that we're standing upon here is Jesus Christ. There's no good work you could do to be saved. There's no good deed you can do to go to heaven. There's no money you could pay. There's no way you could buy this salvation. You can't work for this salvation. This is what Jesus did. But our life from that point on is built upon this. It's built upon what Jesus did. I'm not building my salvation. I'm not building my way to heaven. I'm not building my ticket to heaven. I already got that ticket. But I am building a witness, and I am building an example. Are you with me? And I'm building something, a legacy, praise God. You know, I think you ought to be thinking about the mark you're leaving for Jesus in this earth, for you and your family and your children and your neighborhood, your job, people you know, your relatives. And you ought to have a plan, you know, to do something. We heard something about plans this weekend. You ought to have a plan to leave a mark way after you're gone, even. If your life plan just involves just till the day you die, then it's not big enough. Because I want, if Jesus tarries and I go on to be with the Lord, I want my life to have made such a difference that it is making a mark on people after I die. Amen. My children, my grandchildren, the church, are you kidding? This church is not for just this generation, just this group here. If Jesus tarries, it's for the next generation. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And we've got an eternal plan here going on and on and on. Praise God. So, you know, salvation, yeah, it's paid for with the blood of Jesus, but we need to build our ministry on it, build our example on it, build our life upon that. We want to make a legacy, leave a mark, amen? So it says, for we are God's fellow laborers in the... Oh, excuse me. You want to know the verse? Yeah. Verse 9. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. For we are God's fellow laborers or workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. See, we work together with God. Y'all see that? According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Another builds on it, but let each of us take heed how he builds on. So the foundation that we build on is our salvation. We're saved. Now we build our life on that. I can't pay for my salvation. Are you with me? I can't, you know, be good enough to be saved. But I build on salvation. I build a ministry or a life or example or a witness on that. And he says, no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. You can't lay that foundation. He did that. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. Everybody say fire.
Fire.
All right. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Y'all see that? So he's not talking about here that you work your way to heaven or you work your way for salvation. No, he's saying that you will receive rewards for the good you do, and you'll suffer loss for the bad you do, but the fire will burn up the bad. That's what fire does. Fire burns out sin. It'll do that on the judgment day. It'll do that when we go to heaven. It'll burn all the junk out of us. There'll be no junk left when we get there, because the fire will burn it out.
Amen.
You know, if you ever had brush fires, or you know, you clear brush, or you know, have barrel of fire. You know, out in the country, we put barrels up and we burn trash in the barrels. You know, and it just burns things up. It cleans things. Fire is a cleansing thing. It gets rid of junk. I'm amazed how I can get out there with a chainsaw and just work and work and cut trees and pile it up and pile, you know, half as big as this platform. And in just in a matter of minutes, that thing just burns down. And, of course, it'll burn all night long because the logs take a while. But you can just get rid of some stuff and it just disappears. It just cleans it up. But what it does, it gets rid of the junk. Hello. Even in the last day, the Bible says that the earth itself is going to melt with fervent heat. And the Bible says we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth.
Yes, we are.
What kind of heaven and new earth? One with no red bugs, no mosquitoes, no chiggers. They're going to be burnt completely up. And there can't be any skunks there. There's no way. Would be heaven. You know? But I mean, it's going to burn all that stuff up, because fire does that. It just burns and burns. It burns junk out. Fire is a good thing. That's why many times, you know, at times like this and conferences like this and just coming to church, like coming to Sunday morning like this, you get fired up. That's a good thing. That'll burn the junk out of you.
Amen.
It'll burn the sin out of you. You know, you need to stay passionate about God. You need to stay fired up about God, because it'll cleanse you. It'll cleanse you. If you get into the worship and you get into the Word and you're really listening, you're hungry, and you're willing to change, you're coming with a hunger to change, to be more like Jesus, to get rid of the junk in your life, that fire will burn the junk right out of you.
That's right.
The fire of passion. Are you with me?
Amen.
Passion for God, fervency for God. That's what we're talking about. See, ignite the fire. It does so many things. It just, like I say, it'll burn the junk out. You know, and I turn to Isaiah 6. This is good. This is where Isaiah saw the Lord. Isaiah saw the Lord. The Bible says his train filled the temple. You didn't know God had a train, did you? Well, I was wondering if it was a steam engine or, you know. Okay. Train, actually, just King James for his garments. He had a train, like a wedding garment, you know, has a train on it, you know. So he saw the Lord and his glory, his train filled the temple. That's what he was talking about here. Anyway, it says in Isaiah 6, hallelujah. In the year the Lord King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne. Hallelujah, somebody. You know, God's not an elephant. No. See, we're made in God's image. So God looks something like us. You say, well, how dare you say you look like God? No, God made us to look like Him. Let's get that turned back around here. When God was seen, He had arms and legs and eyes and ears. Now, He's a spirit. He's not flesh. I understand that. He has no limitations that we have. But He does sit on a throne. He does look. He does reach out. He does, are you with me, communicate, walk with Adam in the Garden of Eden, so on and so forth. He's been seen throughout the Bible many, many times. And Isaiah saw Him. He saw Him, and the Bible says His train filled the temple. His robe filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. These were angels. Each one had six wings, which he covered his face with, and two he covered his feet, and two he flew with. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. We sing something similar to that. There's a lot of singing and praising in heaven. Amen? And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. And I would say that would be the glory of God. So I said, woe is me. Woe ha, as we say in Texas. Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having on his hand a live coal, which he had taken from the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. I love that. Because the fire, the coal, removed the sin. It got it out of his mouth. Now, I think you'll see an analogy here as we go through this, that really the fire of God is His Word. And you get enough of it in your mouth, well, it'll clean your mouth up. I think last week we talked about cussing. You know, it's a learned behavior. Well, you can get the Word in you, and you can quit that cussing. Hello. Not many of you sound excited about that, but you just need a little fire to clean out the sin. Amen? And I believe that fire, of course, comes from God's Word. So sin, we see here fire cleanses. Y'all see that? That's why passion's so important. That's why you need to be passionate, because it'll burn everything else out. Actually, whatever you're passionate about will burn everything else out in your life. You ever see somebody's passionate about something? That's all they want to talk about. I mean, you get around them, that conversation is going to go that direction. It's going there, and they're going to just start rattling. I mean, they're going to be quiet about everything else, but when that comes, oh my, whoo, boy, there's passion. See, what happens is the fire has burned everything out. You know, somebody just plays football, and that's all that likes football, and all that knows football, and everything's football. Amen. And we often kid about, you know, we'll say, well, he's just a football jock, you know, duh, football, you know. But what it is, he's consumed by football. I've seen hunters that way. I've seen fishermen that way. Not pointing anybody out. I mean, you can have a favorite author that you read, and boy, I mean, that subject comes up, I mean, here we go. You know, you're just consumed with it. Because whatever you're consumed with, whatever's passionate in you, whatever's burning in you, is going to burn everything else out. Amen. Woo! Amen. That's why we need to get passionate about God. Amen. It'll burn the sin out. Amen? It'll clean your lips. It's like a hot coal, spiritually speaking, on your lips. It just cleanses and purges. It gets rid of the junk, gets rid of the sin. Something else we see here from fire. Turn to Genesis 3. Boy, this is good. This is better preaching. Y'all already mean it. You know, I've been to 3 conferences in the past 3 or 4 weeks. One in Owosso, Michigan, Pastor Jan's conference, and one in Jackson, Michigan, Pastor Jerry Cox had a mission conference there. I was the last speaker at every single one of them. And here I am closing this out today. So, this is my new name. Liz gave it to me this morning. I'm the closer. Genesis 3. This is the Garden of Eden. This is where Adam and Eve sinned. And you know the story. And you know, they ate the mango. You know, man eat, man go. You know. Okay. And so they were run out of the garden and ushered out of the garden. It says in the 23rd verse, Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the garden, Adam, out of the Garden of Eden, to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, 24th verse, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. I'll tell you something about passion, what it will do. It will keep sin out of your life. It won't just guard. I mean, it won't just burn it out. It'll keep it out. If you'll be passionate about God. See, here's a fire. God put a fire by the gate. I love that. I just love that. I know I'm spiritualizing here, but still, it's a valid analogy. It's a valid symbol, type, and a shadow. That when you're fired up about God, it will protect you from sin. It will keep you from sinning. If you're so fired up about Him, so in love with Him, so passionate about Him, you know, that you want to do what's right and you want to serve Him, when the opportunity to sin comes, you'll jump right on that. No, I'm not going to do that. I love the Lord. I love Jesus. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. And your passion will guard you from sin.
That's right. That's good.
It'll keep sin out of you, see? So when we talk about Accelerate 2008 and this, the theme of this conference, igniting the fire of God in the hearts of believers, you need to be ignited. We need to be passionate about God. We're passionate about a lot of things. But see, there's no thing and no one that we need to be more passionate about than serving the Lord. It'll burn out the junk in our lives, and it'll keep junk from getting in our lives. It is my hunger for God, my passion for God, that keeps me many times from crossing the line. Really, sometimes that line's kind of blurry. Sometimes that line's kind of vague. Sometimes everybody's doing it, and even ministers that I know may be doing a certain thing, but my passion won't let me do that. Hello? Because I'm so fired up about Him and love Him so much, I don't want to do that. I don't believe that's right to do that. And so it keeps me from sinning. Woo! In fact, look at Psalms 119. Psalms 119, you'll know this one. We're going to read this psalm real quick. This is the longest chapter in the Bible. Were you kidding? I'm just going to turn to one verse here. Psalms 119. Notice what it says here. Psalms 119, verse 11. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Man, that's something. Now, he put a flaming, fiery sword, cherubim, there by the gate of the Garden of Eden to keep Adam and Eve out, to keep sin out, because he had to take them out. Sin had to go. And it guarded and protected the tree of life from sin. And David here is saying, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. So when you start putting that together, God is telling us that the fire and the passion that we need, if you want to ignite it, if you want to fan the flames, if you want to rekindle it, if you want to build that fire, then you're going to have His Word, because His Word is where the fire is. The Word will keep sin out of your life. It'll burn it out of you, amen? And it'll protect you from it. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. How do I ignite the fire? How do I fan the flames? Give me some 1-2s. What do we do? Here's some practical advice. If you want to stay fired up, keep the word in your heart. If you want to stay fired up, keep coming to church. Get around people that love God. You know, I remember one time years ago, Brent and I were helping with the youth at Lakewood Church in Houston back when John Osteen was the pastor and Joel was just a kid. And we were helping with the youth, I think 77, 78. I think Joel was even too young to be in the youth group at that time. But we were out at, we'd gone out to a campfire and we were roasting marshmallows, and we were assisting the youth leaders at that time. We had several of the youth there from Lakewood. And the minister that was sharing, there was coals there, and you've probably heard stories like this before. There was hot coals around that fire, and he just took the coal and he just pushed it up over here out of the way. It was burning hot, and set it over there by itself. And then he began to talk a little while longer. And as he talked, that coal just finally went out. And then he began to come in and talk about fellowship and how important it was. That if you get off by yourself, you'll burn out.
Yeah. Amen.
That's good.
But if you stay in here with God's people and you stay in fellowship and you stay with people that love the Lord, you know what? You'll stay hot. You'll stay passionate. But you'll lose your fire if you get out there by yourself. God never called us to be mavericks or lone rangers. God called us together. He called us in a group. He called us in a church. And there's a lot of great churches, of course, in our community. But it's staying in church like this that keeps us fired up. Our associations, who we hang around with. You know, I think as ministers, as ministry, you know, the thing that you have to watch is burning out ministering to people. But I tell you, you'll never burn out ministering to Jesus. You can get so wrapped up pastoring and preaching and ministering and doing things that you burn out. That's possible. But see, the problem there is you hadn't spent enough time with the Lord, because that's where the real source of heat and fire comes from. All of us are looking at Him. That's why we get stirred up around each other. Amen. But you've got to keep your eyes on the source of the heat to stay hot. And of course, David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Fire not only purges sin in our life, but it also protects us from sin in our life. And if you want to live a holy life, live a good life, well, praise God. You know, get in the Word. Amen. Turn to Jeremiah 20. Jeremiah. Three Dog Night had a song. Jeremiah was a bullfrog. Little did they know. He was actually a prophet. I know some of you don't even know who Three Dog Night is, but I mean, that was years ago. Okay. I actually went to a Three Dog Night concert. They were being backed up by Grand Funk Railroad, you know. How about those names, huh? Yeah. But that was B.C., before Christ. That was years ago. Was way, way back there. I was like 5 years old, you know. Okay. Jeremiah 20. The fire needs to burn that out of me, doesn't it? Yeah. I got it. Okay. This, we know this verse. We've heard this and shared this many times about, you know, we need to be a witness, we need to be a light, we need to speak up. And, you know, if you got the word in, you're not going to be able to be quiet. You'll have to say something, you know. There's a world out there, and we've heard a lot this weekend about being a witness and being a light to the lost and a dying world. And you and I need to speak up. We need to talk about Jesus. We need to share our faith with people, whether it's in the supermarket or grocery store or Walmart or Starbucks. I'm just trying to relate to where I am. I actually led a guy to the Lord in front of Starbucks in Mesquite one time. He was out asking for help, and I pulled out a five, and I said, well, here. And he grabbed a hold of the five, and I said, let me ask you something. I just kept holding on. I didn't let go of the five. I talked about it. I thought about it the other night. Jan Moore was talking about holding somebody's hand and not letting go, talking to him about Jesus. Well, he wasn't letting go of that money. So I had that money, and I just holding on to it. And he grabbed a hold of it, and I said, let me ask you something. I started talking to him about Jesus. Did he know Jesus? Was he a Christian? And so on and so forth. And I prayed with him right there in front of Starbucks. His grandmother was a Christian, had been praying for him, but he wasn't, hadn't been in church. And I said, well, would you pray with me? And we're standing right in front of Starbucks, people coming in and out, you know. And I said, let me pray with you right now. And so I prayed with him and led him to the Lord. He accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior.
Amen.
And, you know, you can witness to somebody. You can, wherever you are, you can share it, but you got to be fired up. You have to be thinking about it. Amen. Now, I don't do that every day. I'm just saying, you know, you have to be thinking about that or you'll miss all these opportunities. Okay. Jeremiah 20th chapter, 9th verse. Then I said, I will not make mention of him. I'm just not going to witness. I'm not going to say anything. Nor speak any more in his name. But, oh my. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. Isn't that good? I think that's so good. So fire, you know, the fire of God will only burn the sin out. It won't only protect you from sin. It'll keep you hot in ministry. It'll cause you to share your faith. And if you're not that fired up about it, and everybody's different. I know we're not all evangelists, and some people are more evangelistic than others, but all of us should be a witness, and all of us should be a light. The more of God's Word that's in you, the more it's going to be like a fire in you, burning, and you won't be able to be quiet. There's lots of times I just wish, you know, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just not, no, I'm not, oh, man. And I just go, you know, I can't help myself. I'm actually arguing with myself sometimes. I just want to be nice. I don't want to start any trouble here, you know. And, oh, man, I just got to say something, you know, and then I jump in there. But why is that? Thank God it's that way. But it's that way because there's just too much in me. There's just too much in me. I've got to say something. Hello. Now, we should want to. But if you're having trouble, you want to, get some fire in there. And you won't be able to be quiet. So fire will get you out in ministry. It gets you sharing your faith. Amen? Oh, my. Let me close this out. Turn to Romans 12. Is this good? Romans 12 chapter. Hallelujah. Get fired up. Everybody say, get fired up. I should just have you all start turning to each other. Who's that? Jan's doing that all the time. Pastor John. Turn to each other and say this. Turn to each other and say this. Turn to each other. Yeah. I had a crick in my neck after that service. All right, Romans 12, verse 11. This is one that Brent has used many times already this week and even in some of the conferences that we've been in. And it's very, very good. He talks about things that we need to do. And he says, the 9th verse, let love be without hypocrisy or dissimulation. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Amen. Be kindly affection to one another with brotherly love in honor, preferring, and honor, giving preference to one another. Hallelujah. I guess this anointing is burning something out of the system here. Ken, is that your cell phone back there? No? Okay. All right. Whoa, wait, it went off. Nope. Okay. Everybody say, God bless Ken. Okay. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Everybody say fervent in spirit. Now, the message says don't burn out. Keep fueled and aflame. Oh, I love that. And that's what God's telling us. Don't burn out. Come on now, don't burn out. You say, well, how can I help that? Well, you have everything to do with it. Burnout's your choice. You can choose not to. How? Get in the Word. Get the Word in you. Stay fervent. Stay on flame. Stay on fire. You know, fire, the fire of God's Word, it'll burn it out. It'll burn it out of you. Hallelujah. It'll burn the sin out. It'll protect you from sin, and it'll keep you stirred up. So if we're going to ignite the fire in our lives, then we're going to have to stay in the Word, keep it first place in our life, just like a major in college. If you go to college, take all kinds of courses, you ought to always have a major. Amen? Mm-hmm. In life, there's a lot of things we do, but our major should be Jesus. Amen. And our major should be His Word. There's a lost and a dying world out there that needs you to be a witness, needs you to be a light, needs you to be ready, on fire, burning, hot. Amen? And one thing about something that's hot, it affects everybody around them. Doesn't it? It's contagious. I mean, you can feel the heat in a good way. This is not heat that burns out anything good in you. This is the heat and the fire that burns just the bad out. That's all it does. In fact, if you'll come to Jesus, He won't take one good thing away from you. But He will get rid of all that junk. Amen? And He'll stir you up and fire you up. Hallelujah.